Hi, everyone. It's Pastor Andy, and again, we meet remotely for another Sunday. Interesting times we're living in, huh? But we're going to make the most of it, and the Word of God will go forth. Hey, even if we have to pass secret notes to one another under each other's doors, the Word of God will go forth, and it will not be hindered. The underground church in China has proven that. We are obviously not under the persecution that the Chinese church experiences, but it does feel a little strange right now, doesn't it? But like I said, we're going to make the best of this. So you might want to turn to your Bibles if you have them there in front of you as you listen on your computer or your phone or wherever you happen to be listening to this. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60, and I'm going to be reading out of the Berean Study Bible, which is probably not too different than what you have. I'm calling this teaching, Arise, Shine. And when you hear and read Isaiah 60, you'll see why I've called it that. And Isaiah 60, by the way, was the first three verses that I'm about to read are verses that I shared with our congregation a couple of meetings ago, I think it was, at the start of our service. And today, I'm going to do a whole teaching on those three verses. So those verses, once again, say this, Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. For behold, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. All right, I want to take this verse by verse here and do a sort of an expository teaching on those three verses and take it one verse at a time and elaborate on each one. So once again, verse one says, Arise, shine, for your light has come. There's some observations that I want you to see from just that one little phrase, especially as it applies to this time that we're living in right now, this very strange, unsettling time. So Arise, shine, for your light has come. The way that this would apply here is that this is not a time of hiddenness for the follower of Christ. Since we have the light of truth, which has given us new birth, we in turn must shine that light which God has given to each of us. And in a minute, I'm going to elaborate on how to do that. It's also not a time to shrink in fear or cower in the darkness, giving in to its temptations. You know, Satan would want to trip us up right now with all kinds of different wrong emotions or sinful traps. So it's a time to be on the lookout for those things and resist those things when they crop up. You know, the Bible tells us for us to be of sober mind and keenly alert because our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And I believe that he would try to take this opportunity right now when people are so unsettled to trip us up in a variety of ways. So we have to watch out for those things and be keenly aware of Satan's tactics. Also, it is a time to leave failure and defeat in the past and take your place in the light of God. Every day is a new opportunity because of his mercy. Don't wallow in what you did or didn't do yesterday or last week or whatever. It's a time to brush yourself off and take new ground today. So again, verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come. And that's the way that we can apply that verse to these times that we're living in. It's not a time of hiddenness, not a time to shrink back in fear or cower in the darkness. It's a time to be keenly alert and aware of Satan's tactics. And it's not a time to wallow in failure and defeat. It's a time to dust yourself off and move on and take new ground. Also in verse 1, the second half of that verse says, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Now, here's what I want us to see out of that. Now, that word glory, I looked that up, and it's the word kabod, and it means honor, splendor, and glory of external condition and circumstances, abundance. So it denotes the favor of God, folks. You know, maybe it goes without saying that God has not abandoned his people or given us over to the results of our own sinfulness or spiritual laziness. He hasn't washed his hands of us like some doomsday people would like to have us believe. He is abounding with love and does not treat his people as our sins deserve, the Bible tells us. He is always looking to help us come up higher so he can bless us even more and make us more and more fruitful. So once again, this verse the second half of verse 1, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Again, that denotes the favor of God upon you and me. And it doesn't have to do necessarily with our behavior. If you're in Christ, every day is a new day in Christ. Every day is a new opportunity for his mercies. So it reminds me then of Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, which speaks of that favor. And it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now you might remember this, that Jesus actually opened the scroll of Isaiah and read it in one of the synagogue meetings at the start of his ministry. It got him thrown out, by the way, because he applied it to himself. But let's read this whole thing. "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion." Zion is his people now. Anyone who is in Christ is considered part of Zion. "To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Yeah, folks, so we live in that time of the favor of God. Don't forget that. God's favor, his light, has risen upon us. His glory has risen upon us. Okay, so let's go to verse 2. And once again, verse 2 of Isaiah 60 says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." Well, yes, folks, I think that we can agree that darkness in a variety of ways certainly is all around us. But God favors his people. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 37:25, he wrote, "I was once young, but now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Well, what an amazing comment. What an amazing statement that is, and a very true observation in the life of David, who had lived a long time and seen many, many people who had served the Lord never be abandoned by the Lord. "I was once young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Folks, look, if you're serving the Lord, if you're trying to live in a way that pleases God, you're seeking his presence, you're a student of his word, you're trying to do what you can to be fruitful for his kingdom. Look, folks, if you're in Christ, then that applies to you. You are among the righteous who God will not forsake, and your children will not beg bread. Praise God. Isn't God so good? Also pertaining to verse 2, let's also make the observation that because his glory appears over us, we must shine that light to others in darkness. You know, Luke 8:16 says, "No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." And that's us, folks. You know, you might remember that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And part of that song says, "Put it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine." And this verse is where that song came from. "No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." And folks, during this time where darkness is over the peoples and thick darkness over the earth, we have to be a light in a dark place. Because God's glory appears over us in this time of darkness, we have to shine that light to others in darkness and not hide ourselves away and cower in a corner. We have to shine the light of Christ. So let me give you some ways then to shine the light that God has given each of us. Number 1, refuse to respond in fear or live in anxiety. choose the path of peace. And that's very different than how a lot of people are responding right now, that's for sure. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And all these promises are so wonderful, folks, and we've heard them so many times before, but sometimes they kind of go in one ear and out the other, figuratively speaking. They don't really make the impact on us that they should in times of ease and peace and prosperity and comfort. But man, when times are uncertain, these promises mean that much more to us, and we really ought to hang on to them and remind ourselves of them. So once again, ways to let your light shine: refuse to respond in fear or live in anxiety. Choose the path of peace. Number two, avoid foolish controversies, which is kind of related to the first point, choose the path of peace. Well, if we're going to choose the path of peace, we also have to avoid foolish controversies. And that's something that I think the enemy of our souls would try to draw us into right now and try to be attacking each other rather than using our energies to advance the kingdom of God. Titus 3:9 says something very, very profound here. I want you to hear this. It says this: but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. You know, the reason this came to mind is because Donna is part of a online Christian group of some sort. I don't know the name of it, but she was just telling me about this one particular gentleman that's on that group and how unmannerly and really unloving and rude he is. And, you know, he quotes scripture and he seems to be somebody that has Christian convictions, but man, he certainly does not live the love of Christ. He's always picking fights with people and condemning them and nitpicking this and that. And that's unprofitable. And it's also displeasing to the Lord. Once again, Titus 3:9, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. And it also reminds me of a very powerful verse in 2 Timothy 2:24 that not a lot of people know, but I think we should be reminded of during this time. And actually a couple of different verses I'm going to quote. The first one's 2 Timothy 2:24, which says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful." And the one that really kind of hits us between the eyes here, that's also written by the Apostle Paul in Titus 3, verses 10 and 11. Buckle your seatbelts for this one. Brace yourselves, because this may smack you upside the head. It says, "Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned." So if we're sowing division among the brethren, if we're nitpicking this and that, and we're quarrelsome people, that is absolutely not the path that we need to be taking right now. We need to be taking the path of peace and making sure that we're promoting unity among the brethren. That's very, very important. The third way to let your light shine in this dark time is through simple acts of compassion and kindness. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Okay, so there's kind of two parts to that verse right there. The first one is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. That's the first part of religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. But the second one is this: to keep oneself from being polluted by the world in whatever way, shape, or form that that may take. And, you know, I've been hearing people right now talk about during this time of quarantine that thank God for Netflix. Well, okay, maybe, maybe not, depending on what you're watching. And I think this can, again, be a wonderful opportunity to sow some really great things into your heart through maybe PureFlix, which is a Christian movie service. Donna and I have actually watched two or three really enriching and challenging movies during this quarantine time that I'm so glad that I watched. But then there's a lot of bad choices that we can be making as well. So I just want to caution you about what you're putting in your mind during this time of quarantine. You don't have to be out, you know, doing wild things and interacting with people to sin. You can sin right within your own home. So don't be polluted by the world. Okay. And then also look after orphans and widows in their distress. If you know of an orphan or a widow, and we have some widows in our congregation, it ought to be something that motivates us to be reaching out to them, because that pleases the Lord. The Lord has a really big emphasis on taking care of orphans and widows in their distress. So we need to make that a priority of our own, and the widows among us need to feel especially loved and especially taken care of. And I want to make sure that our congregation shares that priority. Verse 3 of Isaiah 60 says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Now, yes, this was originally written to the ancient Jews, but once again, everything that is written in the Old Testament, most everything, many things in the Old Testament, foreshadow things that would come later in the New Testament age. And so I think even though there are certain things that were written specifically to the Jews, they do have a crossover application to the people in New Testament times, which is us. So when you live like this, what we can get out of this verse, "Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." What we can get out of this is that when you live like what we've just talked about, well, prepare to be misunderstood and falsely accused by some people. You know, if you're an eternal optimist, as an example, and you're of the mindset, you know what, this may seem tough right now. Times may seem a little turbulent, but you know what? This is going to be fine. God's people are going to be fine. This is going to turn out great. When you talk like that, there's some people that won't like that. There's some people that just, I don't know, they just seem to love to focus on the negative. And I don't know exactly why that is, but choose the path of positivity. Choose the path of faith, okay? And when you talk like that, when you live like that, as an example, sometimes you're going to be misunderstood and falsely accused by some people because you're going to rub them the wrong way. But the upside of this, like this verse tells us, the other side is be prepared to also have others attracted to your light. And that's when you point them to Jesus. Once again, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You know, 1 Peter 3, verses 15 through 16, a familiar verse in our congregation, because I quote this from time to time, says this: "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." I want to read that again. So important. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for what? For the hope that you have in this dark and turbulent time. Some people may be offended by the eternal optimism that you have, for the hope that you have, but some people are going to be attracted to that, and they're going to ask, what makes you so positive in this dark and turbulent and unsettling time? What gives you such peace? There's going to be some people that are attracted to your light in that regard. So always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the what? The hope that you have. But it goes on to say, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior — yes, some people will speak maliciously against your good behavior, but when they do, it goes on to say that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander, because they see the results of your life, is basically what that's referring to. So those, again, are the ways to let our light shine in this turbulent time that we're in right now, this unsettling and uncertain time. So let me give those to you once again really quickly. And it's this: refuse to respond in fear or live in anxiety. Choose the path of peace. Avoid foolish controversies and arguments and quarrels. And find ways to carry out acts of compassion and kindness. And when we live like that, then we are shining the light of Christ that others are going to be attracted to. Not everyone, you're going to repel some people, but others are going to be attracted to that. And that's when we point them to Jesus. So folks, I hope this has been encouraging to you. I hope this has been helpful to you to know how to respond during this time and shine the light of Jesus anyway, even though we feel like at times maybe there's not any opportunity to shine. Yes, there is. The Holy Spirit will lead you to ways that you can shine for Him in each and every situation that you're in, especially in times of great darkness. So God bless you. I love you all. Pass this teaching on to those that you feel might want to have a little bit of encouragement. And I bless you in the name of Jesus and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Andy Robbins and Blessed Life Fellowship. For more teaching and ministry resources, go to the church website at www.blessedlifefellowship.org. Thanks for listening, and may God's grace and favor shine on you.